Remember from where you came, that pit that he drew you from, and be kind. Have an attitude that is kind to others, no matter how they were to you. Sweetness of speech causes persuasiveness. Tell your story, what God did in your life. And then be prophetic, that unfolding plan that God has for you. And have to realize that I'm not what I used to be, but I'm not now what I'm gonna be. I'm going to one day wake up and I will be like him because I will see him even as he is. That's our future. That's our hope.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Our hearts begin to worship. We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kako e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in Acts chapter 22 with a message titled, Defending the Faith.
We'll be blessed because we came. You will be blessed because we
Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned as it were with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each person. So that salty speech, just salted enough. Have you ever had something like a potato or something? Maybe even a steak, no salt on it. I used to be that way, kind of a health kick, and salt was bad, so would not salt anything. And I'd eat something and I'd go, yeah, this is really good. This is natural. Ooh. My mouth wanted to go, spit it out. Put a little salt on it. It's really good. And that's the same with speech. Don't oversalt it, but just salty enough, you know, to draw them in. And in Luke 4:22, and all were speaking well of him, well of Jesus, wondering at the gracious words which were falling from his mouth. Ah, good, good advice. If you want to open that cage and let the gospel and let the word of God out, be real, be kind. And the third thing is be relevant. Be relevant. Tell your story. Things God did in your life to save you. Now that's from verse 6 to 13. So on your own, read that. We'll deal with it next time in reverse. We'll read it and then, you know, give you the necessary, the essential, but be relevant there, verses 6 to 13. Now, we know that Paul gives his testimony three times in the book of Acts. He tells the story of his salvation to those very relevant to them and identified with them. You see, we need to tell our story of salvation. That's interesting to people. They will listen. But when you put, you know, them to the test, would you like to receive the Lord as well? Oh, I'm not ready. You see, I remember I let a guy use my shaping room, and I never do. I don't know why I did. And I look back now and I see God was leading, had his hand on me. This guy didn't know how to shape. He barely knew how to surf, but somehow he was an evangelist, and he came. I let him use, and he said, Bill, can I share with you? I always thought, what a weird word, share. Why don't you just tell me? Now I use it all the time. Let me share with you. But, and then when he finished, he was very, you know, very nice. When he finished, he said, would you like to accept the Lord? And I said, you know, it's good for you, but that's not where I'm at. You know, that's nice for you. And he didn't try to talk me into it, put a notch on his Bible belt, you know, that he got me to receive the Lord. But you see, that's the idea. You know, you share and let the Holy Spirit take over from there. Tell your salvation story, because it's always very interesting how you were born again. Remember Lydia? I mean, her story, if you had her in church and said, okay, we're going to have testimony time. Lydia's going to share with us. She would say, well, we were down by the river here by the shore, and we were just having a little picnic lunch. I don't know if she was having a picnic lunch, but they're down there to pray and worship. And then Paul came along and he began to talk about Jesus, and God opened my heart. Amen. Now for the sermon. Not very exciting. You'd probably want the Philippian jailer, because they're both in Philippi. Lydia and the Philippian jailer. Yeah, I was there. I was a mean dude. And I had these prisoners. I was watching them. And I was kind of brutalizing them. I put Paul and Silas in the inner dungeon. Didn't like those guys. And then I heard them singing. And I thought, what are they singing about? And it was midnight. And then an earthquake happened, and it shook the whole prison, and the doors opened, and I was sure that they bailed out, and they were running for their lives. And so I took my sword. I was just about ready to kill myself. And I heard Paul say, don't kill yourself. We're still here. And then I got converted. I mean, that would be a good story. That would be worth telling at Easter sunrise service. We're going to, Philippian jailer is going to share with us how he got saved. But you see, you tell your story and people are interested in that. The Bible says in Psalm 66, verse 16, come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell of what he has done for my soul. Again, Psalm 118, 17, I shall not die but live and tell of the work of the Lord. We have something pretty amazing taking place with some of our people that were in ICU, and we're seeing where the doctors have kind of taken their hands off, and all of a sudden God is bringing them to health. Now, I'm not going to be premature, but it's pretty exciting. It's just happened in the last day or so. But that's the point, you know, when God brings you from the brink and you're able to tell that story, that salvation story, you don't have to embellish on it. Don't have to exaggerate. I hear sometimes people exaggerate their testimony. You don't need to do it. If you do, then sometimes people look at it and they'll, you know, question the reality of God and what God really did. I think of Eliphaz. Remember Eliphaz, one of Job's counselors? Oh, this guy's so dramatic. I think Eliphaz, just tell the story. But he's so dramatic. It's like, here I am. Let me tell you what happened to me and God. Well, let me read it to you in Job chapter 4, verse 12 to 16. And I'll try to read it maybe as Eliphaz said it to Job. Now a word was brought to me stealthily, and my ear received a whisper of it. Amid disquieting thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, dread came upon me, and trembling and made all my bones shake. Then the spirit passed by my face, and the hair of my flesh bristled. It stood still, but I could not discern its appearance. A form was before my eyes. There was silence. Then I heard a voice. Eliphaz, just say, hey, I felt like the Lord spoke to me, and here's what he said, Job. But I think sometimes we want to embellish stories. You don't need to. I heard of a story, maybe just an illustration, but it was a good story, noteworthy, and maybe was true, but a story of a drunk who got saved. And his drinking buddies began to make fun of him and mock him and say, well, show us a miracle, show us a miracle. And he said, okay, I will show you a miracle. Here's the miracles that God did. God turned a drunk into a father. He turned an abuser into a husband. He turned beer into furniture, and he turned a house into a home. You see, that's real. That's relevant. That's believable. That's all God needs to hear, how God changed your life. Psalm 73:28 says, but as for me, the nearness of God is my good, and I have made the Lord my refuge, that I may tell of thy works. Tell your story. be kind, be relevant. And the final thing, four, is be prophetic. And that's the final verses, 14 to 21. So you could take these essentials and plug them in and then read and see how Paul dealt with that and how Paul did these things. When I say be prophetic, declare God's future plan for your life. You can tell him what God did in the past, what he's doing now in your life, but what is the future plan? Remember what he said to Paul? Go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. He ends with that in this sermon. But you see, God has made a custom plan for your life, a custom-made plan for your life, each one of our lives. And for Paul, well, Paul, he says in Romans chapter 11, verse 13, I am an apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify my ministry. You see, he once was a Pharisee. Remember what a Pharisee did, what he did as a Pharisee? He thought that Gentiles were no good to God. They were only fodder to stoke the fires of hell. That's who he was before. A total turnaround, a total reversal. He's an apostle to the Gentiles. And you know what? It was God's plan. It was God's calling. And God put him into ministry. Not man, not Paul himself, but Paul in Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle, he's writing to the Galatians. Not of man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. You see, God has called us all to something. I was called as a surfer from surfing to minister to surfers, open the home for Bible studies. People jammed in there, and then God took me farther into being a pastor. You know, maybe God has made you a housewife. There's your calling to your kids, to your family. And maybe, you know, as a Christian woman and wife and faithful there, and then when the kids are gone, and then maybe God's going to call you in to be a business person, business lady. Maybe have your own business. Or maybe God is going to call you into the ministry of teaching other women, having maybe a little home Bible study with other ladies that you're going to minister to. Or maybe he's going to take you on the mission field if you're a single lady. Or maybe even as a family, as a husband and wife on the mission field, whatever it might be. You see, it's God's calling. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. They're always good plans. And you always look to the future, not so much of, well, what I'm going to do then, you know, at this time. I don't know, but I know that God's got a future and it's good for me. You see, when you think of those people in the Bible, not just Paul, he was a Pharisee persecuting the church. Now he's an apostle building the church. But I go back to Genesis. Remember Jacob. Jacob, God said to him, your name shall no longer be Jacob. And what does Jacob mean? One who trips up others to get ahead. You're just getting ahead by tripping up others, just, you know, edging others out so you can get ahead from Jacob. But now Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. And Israel means prince with God. He wrestled with God, and in a sense, he won by losing. We always win with God by losing ourselves to God. Our self-will, our striving, everything we lose, and we give it into God's hand. And so he becomes a prince with God. I think of Abraham back up a few years. Well, Jacob was in Genesis 32, but back up a few years Genesis 17 with Abraham. Remember, God changed his name as well because he changed his purpose in life. No longer shall your name be Abram, or exalted father. That's Abram. Didn't have any kids, but that's what he's called, exalted father. He did have those servants in his household that actually you'd adopt them as, and you'd be the father of them, but they were adopted. They weren't from your seed. But he says, but Israel shall be your name, for you have, that was Jacob, but your name shall be called Abraham, or father of a multitude, for I make you a father of a multitude of nations. So Abram, exalted father to Abraham, father of a multitude, and he became the father of the faith, and he had promised son, Isaac. But then you go on a little farther. What about, or the same passage, Genesis 17, what about Sarah? He had a plan for Sarah's life as well. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her Sarah. Sarah, actually, Hebrew means, it has the, you know, the term means contentious, or one who strives, contentious, to Sarah, or princess, shall be her name. An amazing thing when God changes the character of a person, changes that calling of a person. You know, a wonderful thing. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus, he answers those and he says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, when he's talking to Peter. Simon Bar-Jonah, because he had just said that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So Simon Bar-Jonah, or the idea is vacillating, sifting sand. That's who he was. He was vacillating, sifting sand to Peter. Petros, the rock. A rock. A piece of the rock. Because Jesus is the Petra, the rock that we build our faith on. Peter's just a piece of that rock, and so are you and myself. Let me end off here, this final principle. One of the things that we find as we live our Christian life, and I think maybe one of the rewards that we have in heaven, you know, when we're at the Bema Seat judgment, when you know all that we've done in the flesh for Christ is going to be judged. I think the name, the new name that he's going to give us. We've looked at some of the new names here in the Old Testament with those. Abram to Abraham. Sarai to Sarah. The others. But the Bible says in Revelation 2:17, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it. Interesting, there is a stone, a white stone, and God has a custom name that no one knows, only you and the Lord will know, whatever that is. And that name, the name always speaks of character, a character trait. And that character trait is going to describe God's eternal prophetic purpose for your existence as you've lived this life. What is it? Well, only you and the Lord will know. That's what it says. And I think that will be one of the blessings, that will be one of the great things that God does for us. You see, it's really an unfolding prophetic story for Paul, for you, and for me. Philippians 3:12-14 says, Paul speaking, and this is after 30 years of ministry, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as laying hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. After 30 years, Paul is going, I'm not exactly sure what the prophetic call is on my life. I just keep moving forward in that prophetic calling of my life in Christ. You see, moving forward, it was still being unfolded to Paul. And your life, my life, still being unfolded in our life, and God still reveals it, even through this crisis. We don't know what God's going to, we don't know how many people we've touched through the web. A lot of people in the safety of their home where they'd never come, never darken the doors of a church. For whatever reason, it doesn't matter what reason, some people might have been burned, some people have a misconception because all they've seen are these TV evangelists that all they want is your money, and they speak things that people can't relate to. And so maybe people are tuning in and they're hearing the Bible just being taught, and you know, they can open their heart to the Lord that way. And that's good. It's good to come and gather together. The Bible says don't forsake the fellowshipping of the saints together, but we can't right now. And so at home, we pray for those that may be tuning in that would give their heart. I would pray that this would create one of the greatest revivals that we've known in the United States, maybe even around the world. Because there are those that are tuning in from other countries, those that have the K-Lite app listening to the radio. And in, often in crises, people are pushed to a place where they are, their hearts are open to trust and believe in God. So for you and me, for Paul, what he showed us, be real. Remember from where you came, from that pit that he drew you from, and be kind. Have an attitude that, you know, is kind to others, no matter how they were to you. You see, honey is better than vinegar in trying to convince people. Sweetness of speech causes persuasiveness. And be relevant. Tell your story, what God did in your life, you know, and then be prophetic, that unfolding plan that God has for you. And have to realize that I'm not what I used to be, but I'm not now what I'm going to be. I'm going to one day wake up and I will be like him because I will see him even as he is. That's our future. That's our hope.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Acts, chapter 22, titled Defending the Faith. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our vast media archive. We really appreciate any support or feedback that we receive from our listeners. If you'd like to financially support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online through our website, CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with him today.
Blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in Acts chapter 22. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.